Are you smart? Accomplished? Have you ever thought you could handle it all? So did our guest, a seven-figure entrepreneur who showed up well on the outside, yet unknowingly was slowly disintegrating in her 18-year verbally abusive marriage. Even after she got out of that marriage, Melinda discovered she was still experiencing what she calls echoes of that narcissistic behavior in others. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today we meet Melinda Wittstock. She gets vulnerable on how she lost herself, her business, and her money during a narcissistic relationship. She reveals how she turned it all around and reclaimed her value with gratitude, self-love, and self-kindness. You won't want to miss her amazing journey to transformation. We're going to talk with Melinda in a moment. And first, there are 11 pillars, which I reviewed in episode one, to guide you from vulnerable to valuable. If you want to know why 11, listen to episode one. Today, I'm going to discuss each pillar a little bit more. In later episodes, I'll be teaching core concepts from the pillars. All of them will challenge your thoughts, beliefs, feelings, and actions. And when you have the framework to create new thoughts and beliefs, you can move forward with confidence, feel empowered, and reclaim your voice and value. As you listen to the podcast, see how many of them you can identify. Look, this process took me years, and now I can shorten that path for you. Okay, let's get to it. There are 11. Number one is create a vision for your future. You'll notice that most people who are successful will have some vision. Sometimes it's not perfect, but that's okay. But if you have nothing to look forward to, even as bleak as it may seem, it's pretty difficult. So that's why we start out with this one. The second pillar is incorporate daily self-care strategies. I can't emphasize enough, and you know it. You know it. Women, you put yourself at the bottom of the list. You're so burnt out from the relationship. You have very little energy, and it is so important for you to really start taking care of yourself. And I'm going to be going into that so much more in these next, as we go through these series. Number three is discover what's really important to you. I don't know about you, but I never even looked at what was important to me. I was just, and when he told me what was important to me, that's sort of what I began to believe. And this is the beginning of really losing who you are. This is such an important one and really a huge foundation for your path to your journey to your freedom, reclaiming your voice and value. This is a key one. Four is learn to confidently ask for what you want. Let me just say that after 25 years, the ask was kicked out of me. I didn't even know what to ask for. And if I even knew what to ask for, I surely didn't know how to ask for it. I was too afraid to ask. And yet, our needs and desires just go unwanted because we just take what people give us instead of stepping out there and saying, this is how I want to live my life. And on the other side of asking, which is number five, is learning how to receive with grace. We're good givers. You're a great giver, aren't you? Receiving? Yeah, probably not so much. And with grace, like, can you just, when you get a nice compliment, can you just say, thank you, or you get all funny inside. We'll go into that a lot more. Again, all of these that I'm discussing here, as every single one that I personally went through. And then I developed these strategies to help myself. Number six is overcome shame and guilt. Not that you really need, you know, I lived in so much shame, so much fear to share my story, to share my problems. And this is a huge one that holds you back. It holds you back, but we're going to get to it and we're going to cover it bit by bit by bit. And we're going to keep doing it and keep doing it. Number seven, learn the power of self-compassion and self-kindness. It's so hard to go through this. And often I was just, you know, with somebody today and blaming themselves, you know, how much I blame myself, how much I put myself down. He had done it for decades. And now I was doing the same thing to myself. And giving yourself that permission to self-compassion and self-kindness is incredibly healing, incredibly healing. And I'm going to be going through a lot of that work as well. Okay, moving on to number eight. It's about uncovering and finding peace with emotions and feelings. This is a huge one. I did not have much of a vocabulary of words to describe emotions and feelings. I think a lot of us just have limited vocabulary, but there's so much more to express how we're feeling and to feel our feelings. And it seems so scary to feel the feelings. But again, when you take these steps, it is so freeing. You realize that you can manage it, and it's a huge step towards building your resiliency. Number nine is heighten your intuition. A lot of people will tell women, oh, you're so sensitive. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not logical. Even though maybe in our work, we're very logical, but when we get into the personal relationship, we start to get frequently attacked by people's comments. And I got this all the time from my now former husband. And had I known what the characteristics were, which I want to get to in a minute, but I heard my intuition sometimes, but I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't really know how to tap into it, and I didn't know how to act on it. And we're going to go through all of that in number nine. And I want to just say before I get to the last two that as I do these, I'm going to be sharing, and they're not going to be necessarily in order. I'll be picking and listening to the podcast. And if I hear a particular topic that my guest has talked about, I will tap into that one so you can sort of hear training on it, and then you can hear it actually what that woman has done in real life. Number 10 is understanding healthy and unhealthy relationship characteristics. And while you may have experienced unhealthy relationship, you may not have actually labeled it other than it's narcissistic or abusive or controlling. But what really does that look like? And the same thing with healthy. What does a healthy relationship look like? And you notice I use the word healthy. I don't use the word loving or kind. We want to focus on all healthy relationships are kind relationships. But this is a real key one as you go out into the world and maybe date again, find somebody new, or if you're working with somebody or your friends, as I put in quotes, maybe start to challenge some of those relationships that are not serving you anymore. And number 11 is honor yourself with healthy boundaries. And I will be sharing what the definition of boundaries is and how you can reframe this and really show up your full self, be in full integrity with yourself so you know who you are, what you want to do in this life, and how to move forward. So on every episode of Vulnerable to Valuable, we're going to go deep into at least one of the pillars. Sometimes I'll take two. Maybe there's even some I go into three because there was so much discussed in that episode. But these are so you can learn the steps to a new, empowered, and joyful you. If you want to know where you are on this path, take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, my gift to you. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are and where you want to be. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. You can find this link and all other links mentioned in the show notes. Today, we're going to meet Melinda Wittstock, a five-time serial entrepreneur who puts self-care first, who lived through all these phases and is now out the other end. She shares what it is like to rise from the bottom mentally, emotionally, and financially so you can tap in, take on, and take off to soar in your life. If you don't know Melinda, she's the CEO founder of Wings Media, the founder of the first interactive and gamified podcast network and audience engagement platform, launching in 2020 with 100 top podcasts. Melinda also hosts the fast-growing Wings of Inspired Business podcast, named by Entrepreneur Magazine as number 8 of 20 of the top business podcasts for 2020, as well as transformational retreats for women entrepreneurs, Wings of the Empowered Woman. Melinda will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to reach and impact 100 million women worldwide who have been affected by narcissistic relationships and domestic abuse. Our goal is to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to the inspiring Melinda Wittstock, a smart and outstanding woman who got emotionally whipped by a narcissist only to rise up stronger than ever before. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Melinda. Welcome, Melinda. I can't believe you're actually here with me, with us. She's going to be sharing your incredible story. And I so appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Oh, well, thank you, Rosie. And thank you so much for doing all that you're doing in the world. It's so important and obviously very close to my heart, given my own experience.
But first, before we tell you, you know, you share with the audience about your own personal experience, let's let them know where you are today and all the incredible things you are doing in the world today.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been an entrepreneur and I'm on my fifth business and I'm super excited about it because it feels like everything's in alignment. You know, I've launched a lot of businesses in the past where it felt like pushing a boulder up a mountain because it just wasn't quite aligned. Mm-hmm. I've created a podcasting network and an audience engagement platform that is really the first of its kind. For the first time, podcasters will be able to share in the revenue of the network and have real insights into who their audience actually is, you know, their demographics, their psychographics, their habits, their influence, all of this, and be able to engage them on topics that they're really interested in around shared circumstance, you know, shared interests.
You know, that's so beautiful because as we go into this world and, you know, our listeners are, you know, you're listening through a podcast format. And it's that shift as we go from vulnerable to really being out there. I know this is being vulnerable right now with me, just stepping out there, but that's how we make that shift. Tell us a little bit about your background before you shifted into this super empowered state, helping others with their voice.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, I had a very successful career for many years. I mean, to join the Times of London as a journalist at age 22, to create a show for the BBC and grow that audience to 20 million, to launch a whole series of successful businesses. But somewhere along the line, I got married to the wrong man. And I didn't really realize it at the time, although I sort of did. You know, when you look back with 2020 hindsight and you can see all the signs in retrospect. But at the time, I didn't. And I'm highly empathetic. And empathetic women, particularly successful ones, have a tendency to attract narcissistic men. And I ended up marrying ex of my own parents. My mom was a little bit narcissistic. My dad was an alcoholic, and I basically married a narcissistic alcoholic who spent 18 years verbally abusing me. And I thought I was above it. I thought it wasn't affecting me. I used to brag to friends about things that I could tolerate and like what I could handle. Mm. But meanwhile, at a certain point, my business was failing. I had $4 in the bank. I was a wreck. I used to like run out of rooms crying. It was really bad. I mean, I really lost my confidence because this man seemingly to me, or this is how it felt, it felt like he dedicated his entire life to putting me down so he could feel better about himself. And I can see all this in like now I look back like where I am again and where I was before him. And I think I don't even recognize myself. How could I have allowed this to happen? So you go through all these different stages of blaming yourself, actually, like, God, how could I have been like, how could I have been such an idiot? You know, all those kind of things. And yeah. I've arrived at real peace with it now because it was an experience like we get in life often, you know, the challenges, the setbacks, the really difficult, icky things are often really the gifts that give us insight and give us perspective and give us a means really to help other people. But it had for me, for whatever reason, maybe I'm just kind of thick-skulled, it had to be really hard, really bad before I could start my recovery process from it. And the recovery has been really beautiful, a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that because I think so many women, the first thing we do is we blame ourselves. We take on someone else's responsibility and we put it on ourselves and we think we can fix it. We stay in that because we're empowered. We're doing really well in our business. We're showing up really well on the outside. We're used to being in that role. And so, well, of course we can fix this. We can do this. And then, and what happens in the meantime is that we get diminished further and further because nothing we do helps. And in fact, it makes it feel worse because we're not making any progress in that. And so it goes back to what's wrong with me?
Well, the biggest epiphany that I had, and it took me a long time to get there, was that he would not have been in my life and his comments and barbs wouldn't have landed. They wouldn't have had any impact on me if I didn't have something within myself, you know, that deep subconscious iceberg that believed it. So we all go into life with beliefs and fears and limitations and things, stories we've told ourselves when we're little kids, like between the ages of 0 and 6. And some people who believe in epigenetics say that some of these beliefs are inherited and we don't even know what's driving us. And when we get triggered by things or when we get upset by things or when we find ourselves in really difficult situations, often it's because we have a belief there's something that we need to shift and heal within ourselves. And I found a really curious thing that happened. I mean, on my recovery from getting out of this abusive relationship, for several years after, there were echoes of him in clients, in vendors, in team members, even an investor who were all behaving in this bullying kind of way. And it was sort of like the universe saying, are you sure, Melinda? Are you sure you've resolved this thing? Because everything emanates from within ourselves. And I know this is a controversial thing to say in this context because while we're victimized, we're not victims. And these things are opportunities, but it's so difficult to see that when you're in it in the time, right? So there's a real progression, a real kind of long healing process that got me to this place here now where I feel kind of at peace with it. And if you'd talked to me even 2 years ago, that I wouldn't have been saying words like peace or, you know.
Or joy, right? Feeling the joy. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what's so good is for people to really, women to really understand that this is a journey. Everyone is on a different path. And to start coming to this realization that, yes, you were a target, you were a victim, but you don't need to stay in that role. And your life is so much more important and you can change it. Although you may think, oh, I will never love a man again. You know, I will never, some women are still in that stages and they're not quite open that how can I possibly change? But here you and I are absolutely living evidence of that. So mm-hmm. when, so you know that I have a whole program of really covering like 11 key mm-hmm. factors of this transformation from feeling, you know, this abused, small victim, shamed woman to really feeling empowered and really reclaiming her voice. And I know we've talked about this a little bit before. What was like the vision that you had for yourself of the possibility of what your life could be and say, yeah, I'm not taking this anymore?
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if there was any ever time. I remember very clearly a time where I had thought to myself in the middle of this relationship, in the middle of this marriage, because I had two young kids and I'd convinced myself that it would be bad for them if I left, you know. And actually the reverse is true, because there was this epiphany that, oh my goodness, I'm teaching my daughter that it's okay to be treated like this by a man. And I'm teaching my son that it's okay to treat women like this. And at yes. that moment, I was just like, oh my God, no, this has to stop. And I remember having a very clear recollection of thinking one day, oh man, this is it. All the things I dreamed of, all those things, I can't have those things because I'm stuck here and mm-hmm. I can't have. So it was like a weird thing. It was almost like a reverse of seeing what I wanted, but immediately thinking, oh, well, as long as I'm in this situation, I can't have those things. That's kind of how it came to me initially. And then I think the way I started to heal, what happened to me is that I had no idea what was going on. I was in such denial. I couldn't even admit it to myself. And I had two incidences where I was in a Barnes & Noble bookstore. You know, remember them?
Yeah, I love them.
Right? And I was walking through the aisles and this book popped up at me one day saying, should I stay or should I go? And I picked it up and it was all about narcissists and drug addicts and alcoholics and, you know, what they do, and had all these quizzes to see if you recognized yourself. And I was getting like 9 out of 10 and 10 out of 10 and 10 out of 10 and a 9 out of, you know, I was like, oh my God. And it shook my world because I realized that because I was being gaslit all the time, mm-hmm. I realized that like I wasn't crazy. And right?
Yeah.
And then the next thing, it really hit this horrible thing. Like that's where I was just like 2013. I was just like in this fetal position. It was really bad. And I had another walk through a bookstore. And this time I saw this book called Gratitude. It was written by the same woman who did The Secret, Rhonda Byrne.
Oh, right.
And I picked it up and I started practicing gratitude. And I tended to go all in on things in my life, right? So I did like this 2-hour gratitude practice every day for a month. And by the end of the Beautiful. Month, like I just felt so good. Like my circumstance, I found so many things to feel good about that mm-hmm. something must have really shifted within me. And I started to just, different sorts of people started coming into my life. And it would be a while until the separation actually happened, until the divorce happened. But that gave me really the fuel to start to actually dare to dream of what I wanted, to feel that I was enough to even ask for what I wanted. Like I was mm-hmm. almost like in apology for even quietly to myself. At that time, I couldn't even kind of dare imagine that I wanted X amount of money, or I wanted to live in a beautiful house, or I wanted to have this, or I wanted to have that, or whatever it was that was external to me, or that, you know, to dare to admit that I was worthy of really being in a loving relationship. And so I look back now and I think, wow, that's amazing. I mean, I just really didn't love myself enough, or I don't know whether it was that. I think I love myself. I just think I didn't think I deserved it somehow.
Yeah.
It was an odd thing. And it's just these mental constructs that we get in that just don't make any sense. We've got to be so careful what we think, because we get what we think.
And although women don't really feel it at that time, because they're so unaware of it. And when I tell women, I go, you deserve, and I love the word, and you use the word dare, like, oh my gosh, I like almost you dare to open the door and say, I can live in this world the way I want. It was a dare. Yeah. Like we shouldn't have to live in dare. It's like, oh my gosh, I dare to go out by myself.
You see, and this was so contrary to me, because I was the girl who everybody in college said, what, you want to move to London and work for you know, a national daily, like straight out of college. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. I said, why not?
Yeah.
Like I'm a Canadian, you know, but like, yeah, of course I'm going to work on the London Times, the most famous newspaper in the world. Yeah, no problem. Right. And they all told me I couldn't do it. And I was like, that's ridiculous. I can do anything I like. And I did. I mean, I joined the paper at 22. And then the next thing that happened, I remember I was on the Times and I decided I really wanted to make the move into television and be a television news anchor. And again, everybody said, you can't do that. Like, nobody does that. I was like, well, how hard can it be? I can do it. And within a month, I was anchoring and creating shows for the Financial Times with CNBC in Europe and Asia. And then I was anchoring for the BBC. So where did that woman go?
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, and that's the whole thing. You know, it's like now it's the time. And now you went into a time to reclaim the real you, where this man, and I hope people, you know, are listening to hear that this has nothing to do with your intelligence.
So right. And I actually have a really high IQ.
Right, exactly. And yet how quickly we got whipped around. You know, you mentioned gaslighting, which is, you know, they tell you one thing and then they tell you another and then you think you're crazy, right? Because they keep changing the information.
But while you're talking about gaslighting, Rosie, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I will forget this if I don't say it. I remember there was this one moment where a friend of mine was explaining to me gaslighting, because I didn't even know what it was. I'd never heard the term. And so he just said to me, hey, look, why don't you try this? Next time he's talking to you, just say something completely nonsensical and you'll realize that he's not even kind of listening to you. So I tried it. One day he was like kind of yelling at me or whatever. And I said, hey, you know, have you noticed the windows are 2 inches too short? You know, like I would just say like really weird things. And it wouldn't even register with him.
No.
And then I began to realize I got a lot more confidence then, because I realized it really wasn't about me. It was about him. It was about his own insecurities and his own projections and his own fears and his own stuff. Like I was just happened to be standing there, and it wasn't actually personal. It wasn't actually anything to do with me
at all.
And, it was to do with him.
And to create that separation, that realization was really huge. And I think the other thing I want to make sure to emphasize is that being the role model, you know, for your children, and you were the disruptor. I was a disruptor. And I encourage women to be the disruptor and own your own life. And yes, it's really hard to do, but God, look at the lives we have now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible. But I also know that, you know, there was a process of forgiveness and self-forgiveness. You want to share a little bit about your journey on that?
Well, forgiveness is actually a really interesting thing. So it took me a long time. It took me a while to forgive myself, because like a lot of people, I mean, we all have kind of judgment. We all have that inner voice that talks to us the way we wouldn't allow a worst enemy to talk to us. And yet we tolerate it. So much of it for me was kind of getting, first of all, conscious that that was even happening. You know, like it's really about awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So many books, you know, lots of coaches, right? Lots of meditation, lots of yoga, learning visualization techniques, like intention setting, vision boards, gratitude. Like, you know, I did like all of it. Okay. And the thing that really changed a lot for me, there were two things. I read a wonderful book called The Surrender Experiment,
mm-hmm.
which, and The Untethered Soul, both by the same author,
Michael
Singer.
Mm-hmm.
And really the central point of this is when you get triggered or upset by something, it's actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity because it unearths a little chunk of that iceberg that's hidden. That's like the negative belief that's holding you back or attracting the wrong people into your life. Those trigger points are an opportunity to, first of all, know that there's this unseen driver. There's this unseen thing. So whenever you get emotional, you get angry, you get pissed at someone in traffic, like whatever it is, like, or you're judgmental of somebody else, whatever those things are, they're just opportunities to say, whatever this is, I don't need it anymore. I now officially say goodbye to it, release it. It's gone. And it took me a while being very intellectual, very much in my left brain, to be able to just accept that that was the case, that I could just do that. I could say, all right, I don't need this. Thank you. Goodbye. But I gradually just got into doing that. And all these things just started changing, disappearing from my life. Like all that kind of friction, all those, like, I don't really get triggered by much anymore. And if something bothers me, it's just like, oh, wow, how interesting. Like it really revolutionized my life. And then the piece of forgiveness that was huge for me was realizing that really what happens in our lives is, and our responsibility for our own happiness is within ourselves. It's not, we can give our power away to other people, but we don't have to. I mean, we're responsible for our own happiness, and what we think and what we conceive and what we believe and all of those things creates what we manifest. We can manifest bad things, good things, all sorts of things. But without letting go of the stuff that holds you back or it's very, very difficult to do that. So the more I realized that this, my destiny or my happiness was entirely from within, I could very easily and very quickly then to get to the point where I could forgive him, I could forgive myself. Like it was probably harder to forgive myself. But ultimately, the forgiveness for him was really, really tough. And it came actually at a place in Costa Rica called Rhythmia, where I was doing plant medicine or ayahuasca, which really, my goodness, I don't know. It's hard to even know how to describe it. It is medicine. Some people think it's just this hallucinogenic thing. It's not recreational. It's medicine. And you really are confronted with things that you may not want to see in your life, mm-hmm. and you have the opportunity to let them go. And it came to me in this vision that I was inaccessible to my children. I thought, wait a minute, I love my children. I'm there for them all the time. How could I be inaccessible? But I was clearly in this vision, and I sort of investigated that, like on this journey. And you know what it was? It was because there was parts of them that remind me of him.
Yes.
And they're mm-hmm. parts of the way he still, to this day, speaks through them.
Mm-hmm.
This joint yes. custody agreement, right?
Right.
And that would trigger me. And I realized unless and until I forgived him, I couldn't really be there 100% for my children. And that was just, like, I was just weeping with this because, gosh, right? And so that journey, those sorts of things, like if you want a really quick fix, that's a great way to go because it's a little bit harsh. It's going to like get you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to really confront these things and really deal with them, if you really do want to get out of a bad situation or change that thinking within yourself, I couldn't recommend that highly enough. But that's honestly what got me to forgiveness.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And what I'm seeing, and you know what the whole purpose of this podcast too is, to really give women all these tools to help them start to, one, become aware, but take the action. And we can just hear through everything that you are a woman of action. You did things to shift. So you did things to shift from that vulnerable to now really feeling valuable, to mm-hmm. really reclaiming your voice. You weren't just sitting down wondering, when is my life going to change? And I think when women get into this zone, they are so confused. It's like, there's nothing I can do. And I think this is just shown clearly, there are so much you can do and you are in charge of your life. And I think that's when it changed for me that big realization that I get to create my life. You're creating your life. And it's not going to be all peaches and roses and cherries and everything else every single moment. But God, what a blessing to create the life that we want with all the challenges that we have, as opposed to living somebody else's life with all of their challenges.
Absolutely.
Being a small person at the end.
Yeah, it's really true. I mean, you know, one of the ways I found my voice again is doing exactly what you're doing, Rosie, which I launched a podcast and it was interesting. I felt at the time I was a little bit lost and I'd always been an entrepreneur, you know, all my life, but I'd always felt kind of isolated as a female founder. And I started Wings of Inspired Business really as this passion project because I wanted to speak to other women on the entrepreneurial journey about how they dealt with all of this. I mean, and not just business, but how business and life and like all of it combined, and how to really step into our authentic feminine power. And I realized that so much of that, I think the best podcasts really are born, just like often businesses too, are born from our personal experience of something that we've been through that we really need to share with the world. And just kind of, and in finding our own voice, we do help other people find their voice. So
right.
I love that you're doing this, this podcast. It's so, so important because the more women talk about this, the more we're able to destigmatize these things. Mm-hmm. And the more women will be able to see the signs and avoid getting into the situation like to begin with, or if they're in it, for anyone listening right now, who's in this, you know, there's no shame in this. This happens to really strong, beautiful, successful, smart women.
All the right? time.
All yes. the time.
Sadly.
And wouldn't it be nice to like stop that and understand why that's happening and really like let that one go, you know?
Absolutely. And to not to feel like they're stuck and they have no choices. We're here yeah. to show women, you know, you have a choice. And you're not stuck. I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts, as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them, including asking for the sale. And we're back with Melinda Wittstock, CEO and founder of Wings Media and the first interactive, social, and gamified podcast network.
There's an increasing body of work now that show that particularly high intelligence, high empathetic, successful women tend to attract these sorts of men because I'm not entirely sure why. I'm just hearing more and more and more about this. And I'm curious what that is about, because the more we can kind of recognize and diagnose these patterns, the more likely we can equip ourselves, right? Just to know. And the more I trust myself and really trust my own kind of gut or intuition, I like pretty much muscle test it now. If I feel drained in the presence of somebody or like inexplicably tired all of a sudden, like I was feeling great, but now I suddenly feel tired, or I just feel suddenly self-conscious, whereas moments ago I felt really comfortable in my own skin, that's a signal for me.
Yeah, it's really knowing all of those signs and listening to your body. Your body is going to really tell you. You're mm-hmm. going to feel the tension somewhere. A lot of people in their stomach, could be yeah. in their back, could be in their chest. We start to feel these something is off, and to know who you really are, and that you don't have, just because they're known, they're this, they're that. We create this persona of them, which is not really true. And we feel like we owe them to be with them and to say, well, I know she's really good or he's really good, so therefore I should do that too. And when we get into the shoulds, that's another warning sign or a red flag, when you start to say that and you mm-hmm. delete what your true value is.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, what does love is kind mean to you?
Oh, well, I love the phrase. So it means a multiplicity of things to me. I think that the first person that we have to love is ourselves. And I think we're often the most unkind to ourselves. Women generally tend to put everyone ahead of themselves, which is not an act of selflessness. It's really an act of unkindness mm-hmm. to ourselves. And I think to be able to unlock the kind of love that truly is kind from another person, we first have to learn how to love ourselves and be kind to ourselves. And when we catch that judgmental or negative voice, right, like ourselves criticizing ourselves or judging ourselves or shaming ourselves, we really, really have to work on that and let that stuff go. And I mean, you know, and assuming that that's all true, that we love ourselves, I think being in a really loving relationship, I believe that kindness in love is about letting the person you love be the very best person that they can be and allow them to be 100% fully in their own true purpose, even if that interferes with your own kind of, you know, whatever. I mean, if you love somebody, it's kind of like if you love someone, they need to be free to be who they are. So if you want to marry a cat, don't marry a dog. I mean, you know, because you can't change a cat into a dog. You can't, right? Like, so know what you want. Know what you want and then let that person be the best, support them to be the best person they can be. And like, and you demand, you know, you deserve like the same. And I think that's kindness. That's the kind of selflessness in love where you're both in it to lift the other in that sense. And like little random acts of kindness is a big part of it as well. And like any plant, it needs to be watered, right? Mm-hmm. So water everything with kindness.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you do have somebody special in your life now too.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Right? So we've gone through this whole journey of being with somebody who was highly abusive, who almost destroyed our psyche and who we are. We went through different ways to come out of it and transform from being really vulnerable to now really valuing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then still this journey of freedom, what I call, you know, your freedom journey is when you're constantly creating it, not taking advantage of what you have and to know that people are going to be coming out because that's what the world is, mm-hmm. and not to see it so naively. And to end up with having somebody really who's treating you with kindness, respect, thoughtfulness, because you deserve it.
Absolutely.
So how can our listeners find out more about you, Melinda?
Oh my goodness. Well, they can go to my website, MelindaWittstock.com. They can find me anywhere on social media, LinkedIn, Melinda Wittstock, Facebook, Melinda Wittstock, or my public figure, I think is I am Melinda Wittstock, Instagram, Melinda Wittstock 2020. I'd love it if you all listened, downloaded, subscribed, reviewed to my podcast, Wings of Inspired Business. I interview amazing women like you, Rosie, mm-hmm. who've built really successful businesses. And I'm up at about 450 plus episodes, reaching almost 1 million people now. And Entrepreneur Magazine ranked us number 8 out of 20 top podcasts for 2020. So I was really, really excited about that. So check out Wings of Inspired Business. And also, if you're a successful female entrepreneur, I run retreats for really wonderful women. Rosie, you came to one of them. It's called Wings of the Empowered Woman. And the other place you can interact with me is if you want to launch a podcast. So I have a special free ebook to 7 steps for how you can create a magnetic podcast and engage your true tribe and profit from podcasting. You can get that at wingspodcast.com/liftoff.
That's beautiful. And listen, I know she gave you a lot. Don't worry about it. It's going to be in the podcast notes.
Yeah. If you're driving, don't write that down.
Yes. But it's all a lot of good stuff and you're going to want to do every single one of them. Just remember Melinda Wittstock and you're going to be able to find everything. So it's so good. Any other final words on how you transform from being vulnerable to being valuable?
You know, I think it was just a deep look inside. Being willing to be curious, being willing to learn, being willing to forgive. I mean, just being willing to follow the breadcrumbs to a personal recovery. You know, I think that's it. And it still evolves, you know, it never really ends, but just being willing to do that and ultimately willing to forgive myself.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Melinda, for sharing your brilliance with us.
Thank you, Rosie. It was such a delight, and I'm so excited by what you're doing in the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.